A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who would not shave his head unless he won a podcast award. Rob Cicerino, hello everybody, and welcome back to Rob's Podcast. After a scintillating double eviction in Big Brother Canada, very excited to talk about that, and extra excited because we have a fantastic guest for you today. Here he is, the great winner of Big Brother 16, Derek Levasseur. Derek, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Always a treat to have you on. Derek, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Life's good. Family's healthy. I'm healthy. Everyone's happy. How's your family, Rob?
Oh, everybody is doing good over here. That we had a couple of rough first months with my second son, but he's settled in now, and it's just back to almost normal. Just people throwing up on things and temper tantrums.
Your Snapchats make me feel good. I'm like, see, it's not just me. It's everyone. Like, Rob's going through it too. This is normal.
Yeah. All right. Also with us today to talk about everything on the live feeds, the great Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Well, hold on. Before you introduce me, are you sure you want me on this podcast?
Yes,
we have Derek. Are you sure?
Can we do it? Can we do it? Can we bring Taryn in? Yes. No, we can't bring you in. All right. Very excited to talk about this. I know you guys are going to have a lot of questions for Derek as we go through everything. Final five in Big Brother Canada, 11 days away from the big, no, 13 days away from the Big Brother Canada finale coming up in less than 2 weeks. So very exciting stuff as we talk through the final five and much more with Derek and Taryn. Get your questions in hashtag RHAP and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Scott St. Pierre is monitoring all that and we will get your stuff in along the way. All right. So, Derek, this was a pretty crazy week and a crazy night with this double eviction. And now we're getting down to the final five. Have you enjoyed this season of the Big Brother Canada?
I have. I will disclose I have not paid attention to it as much with everything going on in the outside, but I have caught up on it. It's weird because with social media now, like you're basically finding out everything before you watch the episode. So it does take away a little bit of it. And I know the feeds always make it that much better. It gives another layer to it. But from what I've seen, I think it's been good. I think Big Brother Canada really adjusted how many twists they threw in there. They've allowed the people to play a little bit more. And I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. Overall, that what has been your feeling on the Big Brother Canada? If I remember correctly, had you seen a lot of Big Brother Canada? Had you seen the first, what was it, two seasons of Big Brother Canada when you played in Big Brother 16?
I didn't see season one. I saw seasons two and three and obviously now four.
Yeah. And so now that we're down to the final five, do you have a horse in this race? Is there somebody that you're rooting for?
I mean, I'm not rooting for anybody specifically. I think that the people left, and I know this might not be the popular answer, with the exception of Joel, have really like, and I like Joel, but I mean, I don't think he's really like done anything spectacular. But the other people that are left, I mean, Kelsey coming back and recovering from that when she could have been right back out. Tim, I think Tim's a stud. I mean, the guy just, he can't lose. The brothers, you know, love him or hate him, they've made some good moves in there. And considering they went in there with a huge, people might call it an advantage. I think it was a disadvantage. They were huge targets right off the bat and they managed to survive that. And then who am I missing? Oh, Cassandra. She's great.
Yeah.
She's great.
Really come into her own.
I don't think anybody predicted Cass to be what she is at the beginning of the season. And she knows what she's doing.
I thought she was the first boot. I really did. And she's really coming to her own. So coming out of this double eviction, so I want to just talk about a couple of things. And of course, Taryn, you were live with Brent and Jordan last night. You guys did a great show. My biggest thing, and I know you guys touched on it a little bit, was the brothers. So they are the HOH and they make their nominations and then they tell Cassandra, hey, do not use the veto. You're not going to use the veto? She's like, I'm not going to use the veto. Stop asking me. I'm not going to use the veto. She uses the veto and they say, okay, we're so upset. We want to nominate ourselves. Derek, Did you? Yeah. And then Big Brother says, no. They check. You can't do that. Was that a move? Did you think that was a move? Because I've definitely seen people floating this idea around of that the brothers know that they can't put themselves up on the block. It's been Tim tried to do it earlier this season that got shut down. They know they want to look like a good guy to Joel. And it's like, okay, I guess we'll put Joel up, but we really would rather put ourselves up. Do you think that is premeditated, or do you think that they are just being petulant and having a tantrum and trying to self-evict?
Yeah, I think I'd love to give him credit and say it was premeditated, but I genuinely don't think they thought she was going to use the veto. So I think it was an impulsive decision. And I think, make sure I'm getting the names right. Phil, obviously, Nick was the one who said, we're going to nominate ourselves, right? He's the one who said, no, we're loyal to a T. We're going to nominate ourselves. Phil was looking at him like, dude, no, we're not. No, we're not doing that. And I don't even think Big Brother actually said, you can't. I think Arissa just said, are you sure you want to do that? And he was like, dude, don't do that. So I think if they really wanted to, I think Big Brother would have let him do it, because it would have been great TV to see them get voted out, like right there. Yeah. So I think that even when Nick when Phil and Kelsey started talking to Nick, they kind of walked him off the ledge. And I do not think it was a strategic move. If anything, it made him look very indecisive and kind of irrational. So I don't think it helped their game. And I definitely don't think it was premeditated.
Okay, Taryn, let me defer to you, because you've profiled these guys. You've been watching them for 9 weeks straight, nonstop on the feeds. You probably know them incredibly well and their tendencies. What is your take on this? Is that possible that they could have been trying to pull something off here, or were they just so flabbergasted that Cassandra went back on her word?
Knowing the brothers, I'd be reasonably certain that it was not a move. And I have seen them talk about it after the fact, and they have confirmed that it was not a move.
Well, what are they doing?
They were just upset that Cass used the veto, and they just wanted to, they just felt like, oh, screw everything then. And they're like, oh man, that was our first dumb move in this game. Now people aren't going to see us as Derek's.
Yeah.
They're going to see us as bad players. But they have come around to thinking, well, maybe it was a brilliant move after the fact, because now nobody will think we're as big a target.
Yeah. Derek, now, were you aware that Phil had been citing you and feeling like that he had been making the comparison of himself in the house to you and calling himself a Derek?
I didn't see it live. I saw some tweets where people were happy about it, which is, I get it. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's always a compliment when you hear it. So I don't mind it. I haven't been watching the feeds enough to say whether or not he's been doing it. But hey, man, if somebody's comparing, saying they're playing a great game and they're comparing themselves to you, I'm never going to like knock that. You know, it's a cute compliment.
I get that. When somebody's playing a great game and they compare themselves to you, I get that. But what if somebody is one half of a team of brothers playing a very so-so game? What does that mean?
You know, if that's the case, and I will leave that to you, the experts, I'll leave it to Taryn. But I mean, if that's the case, well, then, you know, I strive for greatness. I don't know, man. Go for the goal. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they've been playing terrible, considering, like, I would have hated if Big Brother blew me up first night and said, hey, they're brothers. Because if you really think about it, I don't care about the twist too much, but they actually pulled a great move. And when they saw each other, they didn't show their cards. Mm-hmm. Like, they actually were ready to, like, play it off. And I think that in itself would have had me as a house guest going, wow, they were lying to us the first night. Like, they were getting ready to lie to us long term. I can't trust them. And I think they would have been gone right away. So, you know, the fact that they overcame that, even though there were people that did kind of make themselves bigger targets, I don't think they've been playing a terrible game. I know they're not like master manipulators, but I mean, man, I'm okay with it. Hey, you know what? Hey, I want to be Superman too. It ain't never going to happen, but you know, I'm down for it.
What about the idea that when the brothers say, okay, Nick says, I want to put ourselves up on the block. And then Arissa is like, all right, we got to go to a booth review on this. Hold on. You sure you want to do this? Are you sure? Is that your final answer? Do you have any problem with her putting up the, you know, the third base coach saying, whoa, 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 and slow down on this? Or do you feel like that they should have just been allowed to go to, like, okay, take your seat. You picked it.
I didn't have a problem with it. It was so caught off guard. I think it was just her natural reaction. She just said, hey, are you sure? And then she kind of let them delegate. I mean, not deliberately, as far as like, if we're going to do it or not. And, I don't think she really tried to push him one way or the other. She just said, hey, are you sure about this? If he would have said, yes, we're sure, I think she would have let him do it. But I think it was more so Kelsey than any of them. I was just kind of like, no, you work to be in the spot. You deserve to be here. And the minute he said it, I think he instantly regretted it. So I think he was looking for a way out. And thank God Kelsey stepped up and was like, no, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, yeah, you're probably right. Joel, take a seat, you know, and went with that. But no, I don't have an issue with it. I don't think it was too overpowering as far as their influence.
So, Derek, if it is a rule that you can't do it, if it's a rule that we've had earlier this season, do you feel like that should be a rule? Should they take that off the table? Wouldn't that be just like another interesting thing that could happen on Big Brother if somebody is one of wants to put themselves up on the block in their HOH? Shouldn't they be allowed to do that?
Oh, yeah. I think it's great. I think it's a ballsy move. And if you survive it, even if you don't win, you're going to be remembered. Like, hey, you know what? I'm so confident in myself. I won HOH this week, but throw me up there because I still know I'm not going to go home. Yeah. I don't know anybody who would actually go through with that, but that would be, that's legendary.
Darren, do you see any reason why they shouldn't allow that?
Honestly, no. I was arguing for it when Tim was wanting to put himself on the block and they told him he couldn't. I was saying, why not? You know, he should be able to do that. I think it would be interesting. And then also in the case of a tie, he would break the tie for himself. And that would be kind of weird too, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
Strategically, it would have been good because if you know 100%, which you can never in Big Brother, but if you know 100%, you're not going home because the person next to you is such a large target. There's no way anyone's going to vote anyone else but them. It gets less blood on your hands. You're taking a risk, but you're not having to put up an ally or somebody who you're trying to gain a relationship with. So you could say, hey, throw me up there. This is how confident I am in you guys. Throw me up there. So it would help keep less blood on your hands. But man, I think the minute you vote yourself to go on the block, someone's going to go, yeah, he's too comfortable. He's got to go.
Yeah.
I kind of see it like akin to just like giving up the immunity necklace in Survivor, right? Where it's just like, you know, why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So plenty of reasons why not, I'll tell you.
Well, yeah.
All right. So let's pile on Jared a little bit. Of course, that I'll have my exit interview with Jared. I spoke to him this morning. We'll have that at the end of the audio version of this podcast. Thought he was in pretty good spirits considering the week that he had. But he had the opportunity, Derek, to win the veto if he would have shaved his head. And he does not. I mean, do you have any sympathy for him?
I mean, I don't. He made a decision. I know when he spoke to Arissa, he said, you know, I really just didn't think I needed to do it. But nothing's guaranteed. And he's been in the house long enough at that point to know what has already transpired, that you can't. The only way to guarantee your safety is to go get it yourself. And hair grows back. But he's not going to go out there and make a quick 100K. Like he's, you know, 15 days away from 100K. I would have shaved it. Again, I don't have those luscious locks.
Right.
But I mean, I would have shaved it because it would take a lot less time for me to grow it back. But I don't know. I mean, if it was like a religious thing, like some people, like, you know, you see like Troy Polamalu and stuff, like it's a religious thing.
That's is that what it is? But,
yeah, well, that's what they say. But I mean, I can tell you right now, I mean, he should have shaved it. He should have shaved it and guaranteed himself an extra week and, you know, forced their hand to send somebody else home. And he didn't. And now he has to live with that. But he still has his hair, right? So.
Look, I'm not gonna shave my head for $100,000. That if you think that I'm gonna cut these luscious locks just to win Power Veto, then you've got another thing 100 coming.
$100,000 tax free.
Yeah. And you know, not for anything though. Like he's still gonna be a good looking guy without, you know, he's not gonna have a problem shaving his head. He's gonna be fine.
I mean, Caleb did it. Caleb had long hair when he came into our house. Yeah. He did it. He loved his hair. I mean, the kid really did love his hair, but to guarantee himself an extra week, he shaved his head.
Yeah.
And he didn't look good with a shaved head, but he was just like, hey, I'm doing it. I'm here to win.
He's fine. You know who doesn't look good with a shaved head? Nick. Boy, Nick, that was not a good look for him, I have to say.
Yeah. I don't think I'd look good with a shaved head either, so I'm not going to even make a comment because I can see myself in my camera and I'm like, no. It just wouldn't work.
Yeah.
I
did it once, and then my wife was so mad. And she said, "You don't have a good head for you have a misshapen head. Don't ever do that again." So
yeah, I'm with you. I think I'd be in the same boat.
I think he'd be fine, Jared, though. But unfortunately, he ends up being the one going out here. And believe it or not, then look at this final five that we have after last night's eviction. Before we jump into the final five, I want to talk through Nikki as well, because I felt like that Nikki was all season long, Derek. We sort of like had her, you know, pegged as that person. Ironically, I was going to say the Victoria, but Victoria doesn't go all the way to the final two in your season. And thank goodness for that, you're saying. But we kind of had her as that person where that she's going to be going very, very far almost to the very end of this season. And then here she goes out in a double eviction. Did you feel like that was a weird spot to take out Nikki?
It was. I mean, she's definitely somebody that you want to continue to bring along with you. And you have a shot to take out a big target, you take them out. But people are loyal right now. They really, really are. That small group of, you know, Cass and I mean, they're staying loyal to each other. So they decided that Nikki was the weak link. And Tim, you know, voted against her to send her home, which I was surprised about. But he's the only international left now. I think it makes a bigger target on his back, honestly. But I would have kept Nikki around. I think she's somebody that can be beaten in most challenges. And if you can get to the final three with her, you have a very good chance at winning, you know, second place at minimum. But, you know, they wanted to go after this week was basically a freebie. The second eviction was a freebie for everybody.
Taryn, was it strategy to get Nikki up on the block in that spot? Or was it just this idea of we don't want an international person to be one like we're going to put up Tim and Nikki on the block because it has to be a Canadian that wins this season?
Well, basically what it was after Cass had put the brothers on the block last week and they had taken themselves down, Cass managed to convince them that they were totally fine and were going to work together moving forward. So they didn't want to put up Cass, and they were also convinced by Joel that he was on their side. So they figured the only two people not on our side are Tim and Nikki. So they wanted Tim out, and so they put Tim and Nikki up, which was a terrible decision because the real alliance is Tim, Cass, and Joel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But is it a convenience thing where they said, okay, we can just put these people up on the block and say it's because of the international reasons, or do they actually believe it? Because I think that in some ways it's actually kind of smart considering Canada always has so much pull in these votes to sort of play the Canada card. But do you think it didn't really have that much to do with that?
I don't think I want to give the brothers that much credit to think that they're trying to play into the audience. But I think they just, cause earlier in the season, they were in love with Tim. And when they found out Tim was manipulating them, that's when they got on the no internationals, bandwagon. So yeah.
And for Cass to vote out Nikki, I think it was big because I think she felt that Nikki was somebody everyone would take to the end. So to get her out, now that option's gone. The free, easy win is gone. So there's, you know, there's two sides to that. You take her because you can beat her, but if you're not the one that's making the decision, you could be going home because of her. So they kind of got rid of that throwaway now. You know, you would say Joel is somebody who hasn't won a lot of comps or whatever, but he's very well liked. So it's one of those things where he's not a guaranteed to be taken to the final two. None of them are. So now it's fair game.
Yeah. Little bit of a motley crew here in this final five, and probably not too many people that, you know, a little bit of a mixed lot of people from across the different people that we wouldn't have picked too many of these people from early on. Maybe Tim might have been the person, but Joel has been somebody that we've also had our eye on, that he fits into that Ian and Steve mold of Big Brother contestants. So who do you feel like is in the driver's seat now that we're down to five?
I mean, Tim, it changes weekly for me, but honestly, I think, in my opinion, from what I've seen, Cass is playing the most strategic game as far as the moves she's making back and forth. But honestly, my favorite player in the game so far, as far as how he's doing it, is Tim. Just the way he's kind of like, it's so carefree for him. I mean, I don't know if it's a facade, but like, it's just so up, oh, yep, throw me up, up, oh, do this. And I know some of it's a strategy. I didn't see him on Australia, but the fact that the guy already won and he's still kind of been able to become everyone's best friend, it's impressive. It really is impressive. And, you know, for Joel, I don't know. I just haven't been impressed with him. I really like Joel. Like he's the guy you want to see win. Mm. He wins great, you know. But do I think he's played the best game? No, absolutely not. I think it's between Tim and Cass, which is kind of ironic because they're buddies. So it could be them too in the final two. Who would they vote for? I think Cass gets it. I think Cass wins over Tim.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point about Tim, because when I think of you in the house, I think it's I always make the comparison with Boston Rob, that I felt like, you know, it's a lot of hard work. It's like very much like going through with every single person, checking in, you know, getting everybody on the same page. Where I feel like with Tim, it comes across as very effortless in what he's doing. Yeah. But Taryn, do you think that is he leaving some openings for the House of Cards to come crumbling down on him?
Yeah, I mean, I think Tim had been doing a very good job in the House for a long time. Obviously, Mitch was a huge hindrance to his game, and he got really lucky when Mitch kind of got, you know, sniped. But he has made a lot of mistakes, especially that week where the brothers were HOH, and he was trying to get Jared on the block, and then he switched, and then he switched back. He lost a lot of trust with people. But something that I think, you know, Tim does so well is, you know, playing that diary room. And, you know, it's obvious from the way that he played Big Brother Australia that he's very good at playing the audience and telling them a nice, like, story that makes him look good and everyone he doesn't like look bad. And so I think that's where he really shines. As far as the House goes, he's done a very good job. He's also made some really critical mistakes. So moving forward, I think he's just about even with Cass and Joel and pretty much everyone else. It really just comes down to comps at this point.
Let me
ask one other thing about Tim. That this past week, there was a moment where he got into a, you know, the brothers were in the hot tub and he went out there and they were like, "Hey, Tim, just want to say kudos. Good game. You got to the end with all the weakest people." And he seemed like he got very indignant. I was unclear as to how much of it was putting on a show that he came back and said, like, "Oh, the brothers just said I went to the end with the weakest players." He called you guys all the weakest players. But he did seem indignant in the diary room also. He said, "No, these aren't the weakest players. These are the best players in the House." Does he believe that? Does he feel like that he is? Because to me, it almost feels like that if I was Tim in the diary room, I'd be like, "Yeah, you're damn right. I wanted to go to the end with the weakest players. I'm controlling this whole game." But he did seem like that he was getting defensive about the people in his alliance.
Well, I think Tim's whole thing is that he sticks with the underdogs. He sticks with the outcasts. So I think his line there is, "We're the outcasts, but that doesn't make us weak. That makes us strong." And I think that's what he goes for. That's what won him Big Brother Australia. So I think that's what he's going for.
Working.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Because to me, that seems like he's getting a little caught up in the narrative of what's going on. Of, okay, this is the story I'm trying to put forth, and this is what I want to see happen. And I feel like that you leave yourself open to, when you're trying to write the story of the season, to end up having the story not work out the way you want it to, as opposed to what's the best strategy to move forward.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree with Taryn. I mean, I think, again, I think he's under the belief that just because we're different doesn't make us weak. He gets along with the eccentric type people. They really are kind of the misfits. And they always have been. The Nikki's, he gravitated towards her. You know, Joel, Cassandra, even for a while there was kind of like the oddball. You know, she wasn't really fitting in with anybody. So I think he just gets along with people who are themselves and are different. He just likes that. I don't know if he's trying to create a narrative. I'm not going to venture to say that based on what I've seen, that I don't know if he's being genuine with these people on the feeds. Taryn would know better than me as far as what he's saying in the diary room and how he's behaving with these people when the cameras are on, but not like, you know, he knows he's not going to get some sound bites out of it.
Yeah.
So that would be a question for him. But I do think genuinely, like, he looks at himself, even though he's a good looking guy and stuff, I think he looks at himself as somebody who's very different. Mm-hmm. He's very careful. He lives his life saying, "I'm going to do what I want to do. And I don't care if it makes me look weird. I'm proud of that." And I think that he gravitates towards people that are similar to that.
All right. Now let's talk about Cassandra, because she really has emerged, and I really did not give her a ton of credit early on. And she's been a real player. She's become almost like the second coming of Netta crossed with Janelle here these last couple of weeks, as she's really emerged from the shadows. And I mean, how great was it this week when, you know, she wins the HOH and then has the whole thing with Jared, and he's getting into it with her, and apparently they had been friends from back home, or they had some sort of connection, and he's like getting on her about, like, he's saying about, you know, "Look, I have my morals, and no matter what, like, I can't believe that you're going to do this, and you'll see what happens. Like, you're not going to be able to play the Vita for HOH next week." And when she says to him, "You're not going to be here next week."
Yeah, that was a kid. That was a dagger.
Right. It's great. Kelsey was just besides herself. It was real, you know, very fun to watch them both squirm under the Cassandra reign as HOH. Have you been impressed with her?
Me or Taryn?
No, you, Derek.
I have. I mean, I think she's honestly, we'll find out. I mean, I have to give her credit. I think it's by design, but she was very kind of like a floater in the beginning, going back and forth between alliances. She started off very vocal. There was that week where why am I drawing a blank? The girl, was she called her a bitch? This bitch
Levita.
Wanted to
Levita.
Yeah. And you know, that was a sign of like things you shouldn't do in Big yes. Brother. You shouldn't open your mind. And she learned from that and she adjusted. And now that it's near the end of the game, she's taking more control of her fate, where I actually thought Tim was playing her at the beginning. And now I feel like she's playing Tim. Like she's like using him, like she's doing the eye rolls and stuff when she's talking to him. So it's kind of like a role. At least that's what I've seen. And again, I'm watching most of the edited versions, but it seems to me like it's kind of, she's like, no, listen, you thought you were in control. No, you're not. You're not. So I'm impressed. I really am impressed. I think she's played a great game.
Yeah. She's really come into her own, this metamorphosis, throughout the season. Taryn, when did you start to see this starting to emerge from her?
Okay. So, I mean, I think that she's, I think what it really was a turning point in the edit for her. I think she has certainly improved over the course of the game. But the flaws that were there in the beginning are still there. Mm-hmm. I think it's just that we're getting a bit more of a spotlight on her, and she's fantastic television. Her strategic capability, she knows what to do. Almost always, she knows the move to make, the people to talk to. Her issue sometimes is that she can't let things go, and she just gets really passive aggressive and gets into these unnecessary arguments and does things like using the veto to spite the brothers a little bit and, you know, things like that, which kind of get her into trouble. So I don't know if like there was a huge turning point necessarily, but certainly again, when Mitch left the game, that really opened things up for her as far as her strategic capability.
Yeah, she's been great. And really that moment, and then when after she used the veto, after she said she wasn't going to do the veto, and then she goes into vote and she just cracks up to Arissa that, you know, that she's laughing about what she just did. So she's good TV. She knows it. And she's been very fun this season. You know, Taryn brought up Mitch, Derek, and I think that we really had our eyes on Mitch this season, that, okay, Mitch is going to be the winner. This is obvious. It's going to be Mitch. He has control of this house, that he ends up getting really burned by this twist when people end up talking. Did you feel like that Mitch was on that trajectory to be potentially a really great player in this game? Or do you think that maybe he might have been overrated in our eyes?
I don't know about overrated, but I'll say from what I saw, I felt like he was giving a little too much of his personal opinions and input on people. Only thing I would talk about people was positives, you know, positives where I was trying to make it a negative, you know, oh, wow, they're winning a lot of competitions. When he would be with certain people, would say like, you know, this person's got to go, but then he would go to the other side of the house and say the same thing. So I think it would, especially with the house and the way they've kind of communicated with each other, it was only a matter of time before it came out. It just came out a little sooner with Kelsey coming back into the game. And that's for any player with Big Brother. I mean, when you're playing that game where you're playing both sides, if you're giving input as to who you think should go home, eventually somebody's going to cross-reference it, you would think. So it could have worked. I think a lot of people would say, hey, well, we all thought that was going to happen in your season too, Derek, and it never really kind of came to fruition. So it's there's some luck involved. He could have ran the table. But that's a very dangerous game to play when you're throwing competitions like he was.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a great player, super smart.
Yeah. All right. So let's take some questions, and so many different things we want to get into, talk about the live feeds and everything. Let's take some questions here with Derek before we talk spoilers and stuff. DC Sox 721 wants to say, whether it's fair or not, will the jury look at Cass's move as her being controlled by Tim? Mitch wasn't thrilled when he saw Tim wasn't voted out last week. Derek, how do you control, you know, these moves that are being made and then what the jury is ultimately thinking about them?
Yeah, I mean, you have to kind of anticipate that going into it. It's going to decide, well, if she's sitting up there next to Tim, her main speech is going to have to be how she actually controlled him. That should be her main key point, because that's what they're going to be arguing that she didn't do. If she's not sitting next to Tim, I think it's less of a something to decide, because if she's sitting next to Joel, she could very easily point out the moves that she's made in the competition she's won as opposed to him. So it all depends on who you're sitting next to. With me, Cody, I knew he had won a lot of competitions. I knew he had just won the last competition to put me in the final HOH. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to specify that I had won 4 HOHs on my own prior to that. So based on who I was sitting next to, decided what type of speech I would give. I think if she's not sitting next to Tim, it's not a big deal. If she's sitting next to him, she has to basically make her entire speech about how he may have thought he was controlling her, but these are the reasons why she was actually in control.
But I think she can't sit next to him. I think that that needs to be her her master stroke of then, you know, I worked with Tim the whole way and then I got Tim out. You know, it's like the John and Netta thing where it's like you can work with this person as a partner to three and then you have to.
I think she might have regretted taking this veto. She really might regret taking him and, you know, taking him off the block in this veto because Tim is more than willing to cut her throat. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. So if he feels that he has a better chance against someone else, he's going to take them. And, you know, if he wins a comp or if he starts, I don't know if he won comps in Australia. I know Taryn probably knows, but if he has the capability of winning comps late, she could be sent home by Tim and it would be unbelievable on his part and probably would lock up a win for him.
Taryn, do you think that is that part of Tim's plan?
You know, it's hard to tell because anything Tim says, even in one-on-one conversations, is like, hey, don't even worry about it. You don't need to take me to the final two. You can, you and Tim, you, Cass, you and Joel can take each other and I'll be fine. It's really hard to know what he's really thinking. I'm sure he's willing to cut Cass, but I'm not sure who he thinks he has the best shot against right now.
So obviously the house is split right now with the brothers and Kelsey on one side and then Tim and Joel and Cassandra on the other side. But Taryn, do you have a sense of who Tim would prefer to go to the final two with?
I have to imagine that part of him would want to go with either the brothers or Kelsey because those are the easiest people by far to beat. Besides that, I think he'd probably choose Cass over Joel. I think he rightfully would think that the jury would believe that he was in control of her. Like I said, with Mitch being in the jury, he's going to be one of the leading voices in that jury. And Mitch saw Tim as his biggest adversary. Mitch was gone for all of the portions where Tim was making all of the big mistakes he was. So Mitch is definitely going to be in there thinking Tim is the better player here. So if Tim is sitting next to Cass, it's an easy route to go to if he's able to win enough competitions. And I think he can probably win there anyway. So I think that's probably where he'll end up.
Derek, is Nikki going out last night saying like, and Joel is the winner and I'm going to shout it.
Yeah, that was the worst. I saw that and I actually, I'm glad you brought it up. I mean, I don't know why people do that, but some people do it to try to throw you off, like, because they want you to vote down. She was genuinely saying, hey, yeah. I'm voting for you. And she doesn't realize, like, she literally just probably cost them it because everyone knows. Poor everyone job. Knows. I knew in my season, like, there's no way I could sit next to Donnie. There's just no way. There's no way. If he was there, he would have won. It's that simple. He would have won. No matter what you said, he would have won. And Joel, I think, is very similar. There might be one or two that say, hey, he didn't play the best game. I'm voting for somebody else. But I just think that his story with his brother and how he's been nice to everyone and loyal, and Nikki kind of showed that again last night. They're all going to vote for him. So I think Joel, the only way he gets to the final two is if he takes himself there. As far as Tim concerned, if he has his choice, he's taking the brothers, hands down, because he knows they won't vote for him because they don't want an international to win. And more importantly, I don't think anybody but the brothers think they're actually playing a great game. I think all the other house guests probably assume like they've been lucky and they're not smart and they're not going to be able to articulate in under a couple minutes how great they were in this game. And I think Tim would prefer to sit next to them in the end.
Derek, how will that work? If the brothers make it to the final two, will only one of them be allowed to talk in the or will they say like, all right, well, I'll give an opening statement and then my brother Nick will take over.
I don't think Big Brother anticipated this. I don't think Big Brother assumed that. Like, I think they probably thought they put the nail in their coffin. They said, hey, by the way, those two that just were lying to you, they're brothers. So have fun with them. Mm-hmm. I don't think that people thought that. Or I thought eventually they would get to play separately.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. They're going to literally let them go. Now it's, I think, too late almost where yeah. I think they're going to let them go. Although Ramsey leaving might open up the spot to say, guess what? You guys are playing by yourselves now because it kind of, you know, based on, you know, they already have a finale date though. So I don't know if that would,
they did say, there was talk on the feeds, about targeting the brothers because people were afraid they were going to split up. So they actually called a house meeting and production told all of the house guests that the brothers would never be splitting up. Okay. That was a sure fact. So
question answered. So yeah, I don't know how that logistically, I don't know how that would work. I would love to give my own speech for, you know, $100,000. And I think both brothers would want to be the one talking. So I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. I think they're probably going to have to decide on one.
And I have a feeling it's going to be Phil.
Yeah, I think so too.
He is the Derek of the brothers. So they should let him do the talking.
I think one will get to plead their case. I don't think both are going to get their chances to speak.
Yeah. Okay. This is from Tamara, who says, do you think it's wise for Joel to deliberately go into the Final Four with Tim and Cassandra, especially after she unnecessarily risked his game for Tim using the veto? She clearly has shown she's more loyal to Tim. That do you feel like that is Joel better served by going the other direction? I mean, I guess that he would be the swing here between these two potential pairs of Kelsey and the brothers. And then you have on the other side with Tim and Cassandra. Do you think that Joel might be better off going with the brothers and Kelsey at this point, Derek?
Joel's in a tough spot because he doesn't have that right hand, especially with Cassandra taking him off and, like you said, putting him at risk of going on the block. He doesn't have that right hand person to kind of like lean on. He's been kind of a floater as far as, you know, going back and forth between what works for him, which is what you got to do. I do not fault floaters. That's the way to go if you can get to the end. But he now finds himself in a situation where no matter who he goes to, he's kind of the third wheel. He's kind of like the bottom guy. Mm-hmm. And again, I think the only way he gets, I think it doesn't matter. I think he has to win. He has to win and take out one of whoever he decides. If he wins, he's got to take out Tim or he's got to take out the brothers. So Kelsey would roll with Joel. You know what I mean? Or Cassie would roll with Joel. As long as they have their right hands, he's the third wheel. He's the third option. So he's got to win an HOH. He's got to take out one of them. So he now fills that spot. If he doesn't do that, it doesn't really matter who he teams up with.
Yeah, I feel like he's in a great spot. I feel like he's guaranteed third place and then he's got to win that final HOH.
Yep.
And I see he seems like exactly the kind of guy that wins that final HOH.
You know, I don't think he's a dumb guy. I think if it's a mental competition, you know, I think he could beat him. But then again, they've some of the other ones in there have proven that they're not dumb either. So, you know, it's his game.
Okay. Let's do one more question and we'll get the spoiler stuff. This is from Herschel. When the House gets to keep Joel over Nikki, were the House guests doing because they see Joel as more of a swayable vote in the future or more for loyalty? Seems like you'd want to go against Nikki in the final two. Good question. Tara, why did the House guests want to keep Joel around over Nikki?
It was loyalty. Tim and Cass both saw Joel as a loyal ally and also a better competitor to compete against Kelsey and the brothers, because it really is all coming down to comps at this point, and Nikki just isn't going to help them much. So they trusted Joel, and Kelsey also on the other side trusted Joel to be on her side. So everyone thought Joel was on their side and that Nikki would just be dead weight. So yeah, they kept Joel.
All right. Before we get into talking about the spoilers, that Derek, just because some people bounce out before we get to the spoilers, I just want to talk about some of the other stuff that you are doing, because it's really very interesting stuff. I know you have a TV show that's coming up that you're working on. Could you tell us, are you allowed to say anything about this?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about it. So essentially, the show is called Hard Evidence, and OJ's Innocent. That's the first season. And essentially, what we're doing is it's going to be a take on Making a Murderer in First 48. We're going to take an entire series, not just one episode, and kind of go over an entire case, giving you an alternate outcome, an alternate theory that somebody has actually put forward. In this case, it's pretty obvious OJ is not the one who committed the murders. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take 6 to 10 episodes going over the evidence that was uncovered in a couple different books and a couple different people who've actually investigated the case privately, done it on their own, and see if there's any validity to it. But the difference is, instead of just giving you that evidence and giving you those facts and that circumstantial evidence that we have, we're going to do a lot of it with you. Anything that we can, if we can go back and do it for you to see and judge on your own, we're going to do that. And at the end, we're just creating a dialogue. We're trying to see what people think and if there's some validity into these theories. And I think regardless of what you feel now, I think it's going to make you second guess yourself. Yes, I played Big Brother, but this is what I've done my entire career. So if you want to see me in my actual element, it's a good show to check out. I can tell you that Martin Sheen, who is somebody I respect very much, is executive producing the show. He's got a great vision. He believes in this. So I think we got a good thing ahead of us, and hopefully it does well. And we continue on with a few extra seasons because we got some other cases we could work on that would really be interesting to kind of go through for me personally and professionally.
Well, for people who haven't heard anything about this, I'm sure they're saying, like, hold on a second. Well, how did Derek end up on a TV show working with Martin Sheen? How did you get involved with this? So you win Big Brother, you start going back to work Was it, did somebody reach out to you? Was this through work, or was this through somebody had, you know, wanted to work with you through Big Brother?
It's a couple different things. So obviously when I get off the show, I didn't go, I'll put it right out there. I didn't go look for agents, anything like that. I actually had a few come to me. Mm-hmm. And I had a guy who really believed, his name's Harry Gold. He's my agent. And he basically said, I love you on Big Brother. I watched it, but I don't think that's where you need to be. I think you should do something in law enforcement. So signed up with him, didn't have any expectations. Fast forward a little bit. This guy, Bill Deere, has been working on this case involving O.J. Simpson for 21 years. He had heard about me, wanted to reach out to me, thought that he wanted a different perspective, somebody who's kind of got a different approach to investigations. I'm a lot younger than Bill. And he also reached out to another guy, Chris Mohandi, who's a forensic psychologist and does a lot of like, he's been on a few different shows already. So he wanted to put together a team of people who haven't worked with him, who are going to be impartial, go over the evidence, kind of reinvestigate it all and see what we think. And I think my role in this is going to be the dissenting opinion. I'm going to ask a lot of the questions that you guys may have. I'm not there to prove him right. I'm there to just find out the truth. So again, we fast forward. Martin Sheen gets involved. He believes in this. He actually worked on a movie, one of OJ's first movies with him. Doesn't see how he could have done this. Thinks there's more to the story. Maybe he's not completely innocent, but there's more to the story. Pitch it to a few networks. The guys who follow me on Snapchat kind of saw that I was out in LA and a few different, went to CNN, went to a bunch of different Showtime. And we were fortunate enough where there's a few networks that believed in us. We ended up feeling that the best fit for us was Discovery ID. We signed with them, and now we're getting ready to film in June. So it's something new for me, just like Big Brother. But I'm about taking chances. I think it's a great opportunity to show a different side to what I do. And also maybe, who knows, maybe there is some validity to this, and we discover something that wouldn't have been discovered if we hadn't done it. So there's a potential here that if we put enough stuff forward, maybe somebody in Los Angeles in the court system says, hey, we have to take a look at this. And that's the ultimate goal. But at the end of the day, we're just trying to create conversation, just like Making a Murderer.
Okay. Well, nothing hotter than true crime between the Serial, Making a Murderer, podcasts, all these Netflix shows.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good stuff. Congratulations on all that. Mm-hmm. Let's get into talking some spoilers from what's going on with Big Brother.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
All right. All right. Got to get some spoilers in here. We got a new HOH has been crowned at the final five. Big news. All right, Taryn, what's going on?
Kelsey won the HOH. She's been studying nonstop, and it was a day's comp, and she won it.
Boy, what a turn of events from Kelsey. She was out of the house. She's back in the house. Jared is gone. She's here. What's Kelsey going to do? She's got three choices, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically her and the brothers against Tim, Cass, and Joel. But she actually, at first, still was thinking that Joel was on her side. So the initial thing was she's just going to put up Tim and Cass, and she doesn't really care who goes home. At this point, she's going to continue to decide, and the brothers are going to back her up whichever way she goes. But Tim and Cass, they weren't super happy with that, so they decided that they kind of wanted to out Joel a little bit. And so they did that. Kelsey kind of caught on, and now Kelsey knows, okay, Joel has been playing both sides. But she still doesn't want to put him up yet. So
yeah, that's right.
So it's still going to be Cass and Tim. She's basically told them that that's what's going to happen. Apparently during this podcast, Cass and Tim are making a final plea to her, or to the brothers, or to something. I'm not sure exactly, but I'm reasonably certain that she's going to stick to her guns. It's going to be Cass and Tim, and they're going to need Joel to win that veto to force the brothers on the block.
Yeah, final five is tricky here because if you have this pair up on the block in Tim and Cass, even if one comes down with the veto, ultimately, if Maddie and the brothers are aligned, that the best that that whoever's left, Tim or Cass, could hope for is a 1-1 split of the vote. Ultimately, Kelsey is gonna make that decision. And then, so it looks like it's going to be, a bad draw for either Tim or Cassandra. Derek, what are your thoughts here with this final five?
Yeah, only way to save them all is if Joel wins the veto. That's it. That's the only way. If Joel doesn't win the veto, Tim Rakass are going home. I honestly don't think I agree with Kelsey if that's what she's saying. It doesn't really matter which one of them go home. They're both kind of like a double-edged, you know, sword, and mm-hmm. each one of them is dangerous. As long as Joel doesn't win the veto, one of them are going home. Then next week it's going to be the brothers versus whoever stays and Joel. So the odds are back in the favor of, let's say Tim stays. So you have Tim and Joel going against the brothers. You know, if the brothers can pull it out, well, then it's going to be a victory for that side, and they're basically all set. But it could go back and forth, and what that ultimately comes down to is Joel making it to the final three at minimum, if not the final two, because they're going to take out each other. So Tim wins. He's going to put Kelsey and the brothers up. If they don't win veto, one of them are going to go home, and then it's down to those three people left. So Joel's right there in the final three spot. If he wins that final three HOH, Joel's going to end up in the final two, and he's going to be your winner.
Now, Taryn, Derek brings up an interesting scenario of Joel winning the veto here. So Joel wins the veto. Obviously, Tim, or if he uses it, is there an if there?
I don't think so. I think he's pretty much set on using it if he wins.
Okay, so the brothers aren't going to stick with him now.
So no way. Joel wins the veto. Either Tim or Cass ends up coming down. Now, the brothers end up going up on the block against whoever's remaining. They come off and vote with Joel. They've got now the two votes. This is the game changer.
Yep, it's Big Brother 5. It's, you know, you got to get that person not on the block to win the veto, and you can flip it around on the HOH.
Worst part in the game, for sure. Worst part of the game, because it's dangerous. And, if that happens, then, you know, check me, because Kelsey's got to win. Well, she can't even play the next week. Yep. So loyal to each other. She's going on the block. She don't win the veto. She goes home, and then you have a Cass, Tim, and Joel final three, which is completely possible. Could Joel pull out a win with only how many people are going to play in the veto? They'll all play in the veto at five.
Yeah.
So they all have an equal shot. But, I mean, Joel is capable of winning it, especially if it's something that involves height. You know, maybe how high he can reach, he might pull out a win.
Yeah. Now, also, this is the Phil week to compete, right? Or did the Nick week get wasted? So it was the Nick week during the double eviction. So it's the Phil week to compete. And Phil has not been a winner in these competitions.
Yep.
So advantage Joel.
Yeah, he's due. He's due, though. He's due. You never know.
He's due.
I think I have a weird feeling Tim will win the veto. I don't know. I don't have any reason to back it up. I don't know what the competition is, but I think that guy's been playing people. I really do. I don't think he's like this freak athlete or like this genius. And Terry, did he win a lot of competitions in Australia?
I believe he did. Yeah. I think he won a few of them.
Okay. So I honestly just don't think he has felt the urgency to win. And, you know, I think he's more than capable of winning. And with less people in the game, I think he might start putting his best foot forward. Doesn't mean he's going to win, but it won't be a shocker to me if he's like, oh, surprise, I smoked all of you. You know?
Yeah, I think he said to Joel, like, first plan is you win veto. Second plan is I win veto. And we try to get her to put the brothers up, which is probably not going to happen. I think he's just like, if Tim doesn't think that Joel is 100% going to win that veto, he's going to try for it hard.
Yeah. I will lose complete respect for Tim if he even relies on that. If he has a chance to win the veto and he doesn't win it, I don't care how much he believes in Joel. He's not as good of a player as I think he is. And I know he is. So if he has an opportunity to beat Joel, I don't even care if it's a guarantee. If he doesn't win it, Joel will. He's still going to win it because he knows the game. He knows people can flip. Takes one conversation. He's going to guarantee himself the next week.
Taryn, since we have talked about Kelsey being the HOH, do you have a prediction on who the ultimate winner is in 2 weeks?
Man, I think Joel has the best chance. He's in the best spot right now. Just because, again, it just really comes down to competitions at this point. And he's in the best spot to survive to Final Three and then have a shot at winning that HOH.
Okay. All right, let's take some more questions and open this back up. And then we'll talk a little bit of Survivor with Derek at this time. Kimberly wants to say, was Kelsey coming back into the game the worst thing that could have happened to Jared? We always said it hurt Mitch, but when Mitch was really coaching Jared, and when he lost, he had to rely on Kelsey. I did feel like that was a bad spot. I go back to Big Brother 3 when Lisa Donahue had the opportunity to vote whether Eric was going to come back into the house or Amy was going to come back into the house. And she voted for her boyfriend, Eric, to not come back into the house. She goes on to win. I felt like Jared was in such a great spot when Kelsey was out of the house. I felt like that he was in with Mitch and Raul, and they had a new third wheel going on. That, do you feel like, was that the turning point for Jared's game, besides not shaving his head, Derek?
I mean, you could go both ways with that, because he was oblivious to Mitch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Kelsey kind of opened his eyes to that. And I think Mitch had a real chance. I think he was in the best position in the house at that point. So I think he would have ended up not taking Jared as far, because Jared was a good player. Yeah, there's two ways of looking at it. He definitely was more focused when Kelsey wasn't in there, because he was like, I'm here for myself. When she came back in, I think he was more about building a relationship with her than building a relationship with the rest of the house guests. That's never a good thing. That's the fatal flaw of a showmance. You're trying to spend as much time as you can with the person that you're emotionally invested in, but that's not good strategically. So, yeah, he probably would have played a better game, but I think we would have the same outcome. If Kelsey wasn't in there, I still don't think he's shaving his head at that point. he's still going home at this spot.
Taryn, I also liked it this week when Tim and Cassandra played around with the pickle juice in the wine bottle, and then they made Jared drink it, and he got like really upset about that.
Yeah, I said on Twitter, like, this is a game with $100,000 at stake. Like backstabbing, lying, and the thing that causes the most fights on Big Brother Canada is who drank what alcohol.
He was incensed about that. He was really,
that was not cool. I really did not appreciate that.
We never had that problem in my house. Well, my season, because we never got alcohol.
Yeah, well, if they had it, imagine what would happen.
I know, what was it, 15? 15 was with Eric. Those guys, they had a couple wine nights.
Yep.
It was a dry season after that. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Edward Morris wants to say, which one of the Pax Bros would have gone farther if they were separate? Would it have been Nick or Phil, Derek?
I think Nick all day long. I mean, Phil hasn't really.
But Nick, Phil is the Derek.
Yeah, but Phil hasn't really won anything. And I think Nick was more reserved. I think in the beginning, too, I mean, weren't people saying like Nick was likable and sociable and Phil was kind of holding him back? You know, so yeah, I think Nick all day long. Yeah.
Okay. Taryn, you agree?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Let's go to Dan, who says, honestly, Cass has to go to the end with Kelsey to win. She would lose against any other player, right? Taryn, is that how you're seeing it too?
I think she beats the brothers as well. And I think she has a shot against Joel. But it would be a little too close for comfort.
He's scary, man.
Yeah.
What about Tim versus Joel?
It's hard. I think it comes down to, because that's one, especially like Mitch had a good relationship with both of them. I feel like Mitch might lean toward Tim. I feel like Jared and his guys would probably lean toward Joel. So I think it would be close.
Yeah. Derek, do you see any way Kelsey could win, or does she need to stick with maybe the brothers? That's her one shot at this.
If the brothers aren't in the final two with her and she didn't send them out, I'm sitting here as you were saying it. She would have the brothers. She would have Jared. She would have Raul.
Yeah, that's three already. Only 8-person jury.
Depends on who she's next to. I mean, it all depends, because, I mean, if she's sitting next to Tim, then again, if she's sitting next to Tim, Nikki was very upset with Tim when she left.
Mm-hmm.
How much did she like Kelsey? I don't know. I don't think she really liked Kelsey. So, so that might, I mean, it might be tough. That might be your three.
Mm-hmm.
I think Mitch will vote for who he thinks is more strategic. I think in the end, he's going to, because of the way he operates, I think he's going to vote for who's more strategic.
So Taryn, that when we saw the people in the jury house on Thursday night talking about like, wait, what, hold on, Ramsey's not going to be in the jury. What does that mean? 8-person jury. Is Canada going to get a vote? Should we take that as canon that once the people in the jury house are speculating that is Canada going to get a vote? Should we say, write that down in ink that Canada is going to get a vote?
I wouldn't say in ink. I feel like they really love to not do the expected twist, even though we usually end up expecting it. But I mean, I feel like that is the go-to move. You know, it fits in with what they like to do, so it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see what they do.
I think Ramsey gets it.
Yeah.
I do. I'm serious. I think he's the voice for Canada. I saw something that John Party put up today on Twitter.
Yeah,
joking. But honestly, how cool would it be? I mean, they love Ramsey now. Ramsey's like, you know, he's the story this year as far as like, you know, choosing family over a game. And it's like such a great story. And what better story to have him come back and still get the opportunity to play a role, a real role and who wins the game. And he's in the outside now, so he is going to get that perspective of everything, like Canada. Yeah. But it's something that's never been done before in any season of any Big Brother, to have a house guest who left the game, went home, except in like, well, when was that? When Danielle's season back in like...
Yeah,
Big Brother 2 and 3, sure.
Right, but I mean, again, it's probably not going to happen, but how weird is how... That'd be odd to have Ramsey come in and say, hey, guess what, guys?
Yeah. Derek, did you have any sort of insight or reaction to Ramsey leaving the game? I know when you were in Big Brother 16, I believe it was your grandfather passed away while you were in the house. And so did you have any thoughts watching that play out for Ramsey?
I felt for him. You know, it brought back memories because, I mean, when you're in that room and you're reading that, you know, I know in mind the producers didn't say nothing. They just let me sit there for a little while and kind of process it. Completely different situations. I would have done the exact same thing that he did. I think most of us would have. Unfortunately, not to sound morbid, but my grandfather was already gone. Mm-hmm. There's no way to get it. Was unexpected, but also, you know, he's an older gentleman, and it's going to happen eventually. His dad, that situation, I'm on the first flight out of it. I don't even know if I would have played in the Vita. I'm gone. Right. And I'm gone. So, because you never know if you're going to be sitting in that house when something, it takes a turn for the worse. So, don't blame him one bit. Would have done the exact same thing. I think most people would have done the exact same thing.
Okay. Let's do, this is from, Survivor Tyler says, is it fair to vote against him no matter who he is in the final two just because he's international? Do you feel like, I mean, is there anybody else besides the brothers that are thinking that way?
I mean, Jared's talked about it too, just because he's upset with Tim, but...
Yeah.
All depends on who's sitting next to, but that's foolish. If he's sitting there and Tim's the better player, Tim should win.
Derek, you were on Team America. Would you, if there was anybody not from America in Big Brother 16, would you have put them up on the block and said you had to do it for Team America?
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess if I was like grasping at straws, but I don't even know if they believe in it. I think when you guys said it earlier, I don't think they believe in that. I think there's just a reason to get them out, but I think at the end of the day, they'll vote. Hopefully for who's the best player.
All right, let's do one more Big Brother question.
He just played a great game.
All right, this is from Jack B. He says, was Phil's decision to put Nikki and Tim on the block instead of casting him the worst move of the season so far? Derek, Karen, do either of you feel like it was the worst move of the season?
Karen, you can go with that one.
I mean, it has the potential to be the worst move of a season, but this season has been pretty special with some bad moves. So I wouldn't go that far. I think Raul takes the cake for on two separate occasions. So
okay, all right. You know that, Derek, I know you've been following the season of Survivor pretty closely, and you know you were tweeting the. I'm going to talk about Survivor if anybody has not caught up yet from this week. So I'll give you a second to get out of this. If you haven't watched the Survivor episode from this week, but you were tweeting that you were very disappointed to see Julia go home. I'm sure you must also appreciate another fellow New Englander in Aubrey this season. You played Big Brother with one of the competitors from this season. So let's just you know, bounce around Survivor a little bit. That Julia, have you met Julia?
Nope, I haven't met her. I'm sure we'll cross paths. I think the Rodney Bowl is coming up.
Rodney Bowl 2.
And I got to be honest, last time it was great. I've been to a few of the events, but it actually was great to get to, like, not just sit up there and, like, take pictures. We got the bowl and have fun. I thought it was a good time. So more than likely, because it's 20 minutes from my house, 30 minutes from my house, I will absolutely go.
Especially when you have to travel. That's it makes these things a lot more enjoyable. Yeah.
Especially with kids. It's one of those things where I can go up there for the night, hang out, meet some cool people, and then go home and no harm, no foul. So, yeah, no, I'm sure I'll meet her there. But, yeah, I think she's kind of like a Cass to me in a way, because I didn't see her being like what she did. And I think that she really, for a young girl, she had a good grasp of the game. And I actually was very surprised when she went home. I didn't think they were going to go after her yet because she was kind of in the middle. But yeah, it's the way it played out. But I had to root for the New England girl, and now Aubrey's my only hope.
Have you been impressed with Aubrey besides her New England residence?
Some people are going to crucify me for this. I haven't really been that impressed with her, honestly.
Oh, interesting. Because I feel like she's probably had the best reputation as a strategist for the season.
Yeah, he has. I mean, it's tough because we don't get the feeds. You know, it's tough because we don't get the feeds, so we don't get to see the edits. She's a brain. You know, they're going to give her that edit. But I feel like earlier in the game, she had a really tough grasp on the game. And now she's kind of, as you said, the edit changes. You know, she's become the mastermind. I'd like to see her win a couple competitions, you know, to kind of level it out a little bit. She's kind of relying on the people right now. By far not the worst player in the game, that's for sure. She's doing her thing, but I haven't been like in awe by her. I think that she's playing a good game and she could definitely win it, but I'm not like over exaggerated, like ecstatic about it. You know, like she's okay.
Okay, so who do you feel like has it?
I mean, in my opinion, the person who's probably not going to win, but I think Ty is the best player out there. Honestly,
interesting.
I think Ty. I mean, that guy's mental game is just ridiculous. He hasn't made the best. I think him getting rid of Scott, it takes a lot of balls. I don't know if I can say that, but
you can say.
He's a very small guy, mm-hmm. and he was intimidated by those two, honestly. And I know it says, "Oh, it's just a game; nobody's going to get hurt." But to stand next to that guy, Scott, and be like, "Nah, man, I'm not using it on you. You just got burned." That's impressive to me. It's big moves. Mm-hmm. And he does seem like he's got a pretty good grasp on the people. Do I think he's going to win? No, because I don't think anybody thinks they could beat him in the end. But I think he's played a great game. I'm a big animal lover. So like, I hate when the chickens get killed, to be honest with you.
So that appealed to you.
Oh, I love it. Like I want a mark for my house. Like I'm seriously considering living chicken coop. I'm not even kidding. Like it just appeals to me. I just like Ty. And I like how he had a good relationship with Caleb too, honestly. Yeah.
So, okay, so that's interesting. Did Ty appeal to you because he was friends with Caleb? It's like, okay, well, you know, I worked with Caleb, and if he could work with Caleb, I bet I would be on the same page as Ty.
I just liked him. I think in his story, you know, about how, you know, his background, without getting too, you know, emotional about it, but I mean, what he's been through in his life, this is a walk in the park for him. And some of those mental comps, and you would know better than me, Rob, because we didn't really have any in my season, but to stand up there, it's not physical. It's just who wants it more. Mm-hmm. Those are the best challenges when it's like, it doesn't matter how strong you are. It's just in your heart. Like who wants it the most? That's who's going to win. Mm-hmm. And that man has more heart than any of them out there, period. He's not the strongest. He hasn't ate a lot. And he's just like, I want it the most. And this is nothing to me. And he's able to, I just find that very interesting. A person who can do that and literally say, I just want it more than you. It doesn't matter if you're stronger or faster or whatever. I'm going to beat you.
Yeah, I'd love to get your take on the Beast Mode Cowboy stuff, because I really felt like that he had like such a turn in this Survivor season where, you know, in Big Brother, certainly had his fans. He definitely had some detractors as well during the season, but he became universally beloved on Survivor, especially the way that he ended up going out of this game. And it was so, as somebody who covered your whole Big Brother season, we were there, you know, 40 episodes all the way through it. I really thought that he was going to come in, and I thought that he was going to be a little bit more of a wrecking ball on Survivor, whereas he came out and really was just like universally popular in this season. Did any of that surprise you?
Not at all. And I'm not just saying it to be politically correct. When I was on Big Brother, there was one thing I knew about him. It kind of goes back to what I just said about Ty. There's people in this world that just mentally want it more than other people. And he's one of those guys. He will kill himself to win a competition, not figuratively, literally kill himself. I saw that in that sloppy snowman comp. I was dying. I looked over at him and he was talking about his brothers that had died overseas. And I just knew looking at him, nobody was beating him. And I just think that's so powerful, like to have people like that, because not everyone is built like that. So the competitions, no surprise at all. The other thing about Big Brother in comparison to Survivor, which is great, is edits. You're not getting the live feed. So those little hiccups you have where you say things you probably shouldn't say, Survivor can edit those things out for you and make you look a little better. Yeah. Whereas Big Brother, everything is documented and replayed and harped on. So you have the opportunity to kind of be yourself a little bit more, knowing that the producers like you, you can still come out looking good. And I think that's what a lot of stuff Caleb said was really good in our house. It was the Amber stuff afterwards that kind of tainted things. But at the end of the day, Caleb's a good guy. Yeah. He's a good guy. At the end of the day.
You know, and I do think that there are some people that are probably good on both shows, but I feel like that, I'm not to say he was bad on Big Brother, but I do feel like that he's just like cut out for Survivor. I think that he found it. That you take a guy like that, and I think he goes like kind of stir crazy in the Big Brother house. But I feel like, you know, I think that was really, that was his element.
All day long. And so in Big Brother, if you don't know the game going into it, it's tough. It's tough to win because there are a lot of times where you can watch previous seasons and have an idea of what to do in this particular situation. I remember when they did this on previous seasons, what they did to get out of it. He had no previous knowledge. Survivor is basically go out there and what you knew before you came on the island as far as your home life, you can apply that directly. And he, that's his element where he, you know, from in Kentucky. So that's his, yeah, 100% agree with you. I think based on how he went out, he'll be back. Yeah. No doubt about it in my mind.
No doubt. No doubt about it. And I really thought coming into the season, I said, oh, he's going to come in now. He's going to try to be the Derek. He's going to try to, oh, I'm going to, you know, have my, you know, I'm going to try to get something going with talk to all these people. But, and I felt like he really did not. I mean, we didn't see a lot of, they never went to a tribal council before he ultimately went out. But I thought that he did a good job of sort of staying within himself and like just being that guy who's sort of like, and I'm sure that you realize that in the house, okay, this guy is a loyal vote and I need to, you know, keep him around. That's really even more valuable, I think, on Survivor, somebody that you just know, he's like a steady Eddie, you know where he's going to be and you don't have to worry about him like being some one of these people that are flipping.
What you see is what you get with him. Yeah. That's why we gravitated towards him. You know, I knew where his head was at. He doesn't really have the ability to lie. Mm-hmm. So, you know, although that's not a good attribute in a game like Survivor or Big Brother, he doesn't have it. So as far as a guy trying to get further in the game, he is the one that you want there until the very end. And then if you can't beat him, you got to get rid of him, which is what we did on our season. And they probably would have did it on that on Survivor as well, because he's so well liked. He would have had to win outright to win because he was such he was liked by everybody.
Yeah. And I think he's set up very well if he ever plays again. He's never getting voted out before a merge on Survivor.
Nope. Nope, he's and I think he's 100. I mean, I don't know Survivor like you do, but I think he's coming back 100% because I think he will make it past the merge if he doesn't get injured or sick. He's built for that game.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff, Derek. Anything else going on?
No, man. It's just a pleasure being on here. Love talking to you guys, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay. All right. All good stuff. And definitely, you know, we covered everything with the OJ show on our post show recaps. Would love to check in with you when the new show is coming out. And it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm looking forward to it. I hope all your loyal viewers tune in. Check out the first episode. See, give me at least a chance.
Yeah, look, we got people in the audience that are OJ crazy, that they couldn't get enough of covering the OJ people versus OJ.
Well, if you like sex, you'll like this.
Yeah, I mean, this is we did a podcast on Serial, Making a Murderer too. So this is our podcast wheelhouse.
I'll tell you this: the original concept of the show came from Serial.
Okay,
so that puts in perspective for you where this came from. Saying, "Hey, we want to do a TV version of that."
All right,
so
Taryn, check it out. Taryn, this Sunday night, are you on with Jordan?
I'm not sure. I don't think Jordan's told us.
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. Okay. I'm going to be on with Jordan Parhar, the host of Reality TV for Happy Hour. He is going to be joining me for a special podcast over the weekend on Saturday. We're going to record a podcast. We're going to talk Survivor. We're going to talk some Big Brother Canada as well. You can leave us voicemails. Go to robinswebsite.com/voicemail for that. And we'll get a bonus show going on there. Of course, you could follow Derek on Twitter. What is it? At Derek L?
At Derek L. Yep.
At Derek L. That's pretty good. That's a solid Twitter handle.
I know somebody at Twitter.
Okay. Well, that's good. I can tell. That's solid. Very good. Taryn is on Twitter. He's at Armstrong Taryn. I'm going to be live later on tonight, 9:15 p.m. Eastern. If you're watching us live with our amazing race wrap up show, down to the final couple teams on the Amazing Race. Also, if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast, stay tuned for my exit interview with Jared. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We'll be back later. Looking forward to reading your comments on robinswebsite.com. Take care, everybody. Bye. All right. If you're listening to this, you just heard our podcast with Derek Levasseur, our weekly recap. Derek did a great job with everything on the show. But now let's talk about our exit interview with Jared coming up. First, let me just take a moment and mention another podcast here on the Podcast One Network, the Eddie Trunk podcast. If you're a Guns N' Roses fan, Eddie Trunk, VH1 host of That Metal Show, has a podcast that's perfect for you fans of rock and roll. Eddie just recapped the band's first ever reunion show in Vegas on the Eddie Trunk Show. You could listen to that on podcastone.com or download it on the free Podcast One app. All right, let's get to Jared here. Jared, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning. Whoa, good to Jared. Good morning. King Jared, how are you?
That's right. I had many names in that house.
Yes, yes. You don't have $100,000, but damn, that's some great hair.
That's right. You bet.
That's right. All right. Jared, so let's get into everything from this past week and the season. So could you talk about how strategically, if you thought that this was the best move for Cassandra to make?
Personally, I didn't think it was a good strategic move, just knowing that I was had my intentions of taking her to the final three. But clearly, I can't speak for her. Obviously, I was standing in between her and that money, and she believed that she could trust other people more than she could trust me. So from my standpoint, knowing how far I would take her, I think it was poor, but she wasn't completely in my head, just like I'm not completely in her head. So I know I was definitely a roadblock between her and the money. So I guess for her game, it was the best decision.
How about your relationship with Cassandra from before the show? Did that give you more confidence heading into this week than it probably should have?
The fact that she was my hometown girl really gave me a lot of confidence that I could count on her and trust her. We'd worked very closely together from the get-go. I also protect her so much throughout the duration of the game, and this is why her decision this week was such a shock and really hurtful to me. So I was a little disappointed and hurt, that's for sure.
Why were you seen as such a big threat in the house, going back to even when Dallas declared you as the target early in the game? Why did you feel like that the house guests were so threatened by you the whole way?
I think a lot to do with that was first impressions that I was an athletic competitor, as well as that I got along with a lot of people. And then shortly after all this, the people found out that I was a very personal person. I started making a really tight bond with Kelsey and Raul, which didn't aid in my target on my back, but you know what? I wouldn't have changed anything.
Now, why do you feel like it was you and not Kelsey that Cassandra put up on the block this week? Do you feel like that they just saw Kelsey maybe as being just your puppet in the house?
Kelsey is the last thing. She is definitely a puppet. She's a very strong competitor, and if people want to believe that about her, that's in her advantage. I think everyone was just under the impression that I had a lot of the votes in jury right now, and at this point in the game, people are starting to look ahead and see the finish line, so they need to get someone out who had three secured votes in jury, if I think I did anyways. So they turned on me thinking that I had a lot of strong opinions and stuff like that, where they can maybe hopefully manipulate Kelsey, where they weren't able to manipulate me down the road.
So where do you think things stand with you and Kelsey now coming out of this season? That it was definitely you guys were seen as a pair, but do you think that outside of the house that things will continue to develop?
She definitely has a lot of qualities in a person that I would like to be around. We spent so much time in the house and we really enjoyed each other's company. We have so many things in common, and it's actually pretty astonishing. So we'll just have to see where the cards fall when we get back into the real world and get back into our routines.
All right, just scale back that jealous Jared stuff.
That's right.
What does Kelsey need to do now that you're gone from the house?
She just has to keep doing exactly what she's been doing this whole game. She's been a competitor in all the competitions, and her loyalty has been very good. So she needs to really be loyal to the brothers, and hopefully they can work together and get each other to the end.
So now that we've seen the whole season for the most part play out, what do you think of this idea of the international player twist?
I think it was really cool because they played the game completely different than we do here in Canada, or North America, rather. So it was a really big twist, and I think it was really entertaining for everyone to watch at home, that's for sure.
Now, a lot of people were surprised that you wanted Kelsey to come back in over LaVita because that it seemed like at the point where she left the first time that you were like, okay, I know what's best for my game, her to not be here. So how did you end up with deciding that she should be back and then convincing everybody else that she should also be back?
You know what? A lot of the time, it's just stress-related to the house. It's a constant battle in the house, and it's really nice to have someone in the game that can relieve some of that stress. So for my personal game, it was really good having someone that I can go relax with and kind of take a step back from the game. And then it really aids in keeping your mind sharp when it comes back to the game thing. So I think it was beneficial when she left because I've made a bond with Ramsey and Maddie while she was gone. But when she came back, it's too bad that Maddie and her couldn't see eye to eye. But you know what? I wouldn't change my decision to have her back in this game. And hopefully she can pull through and make it all the way to the end.
Jared, could you go back to the first week and talk a little bit more about how things ended up really getting off on the wrong foot with LaVita? Because we didn't see a lot of that from the first couple episodes.
Yeah, I was very interested in working with LaVita first thing. Her and Ramsey were the two people I wanted to work with right off the bat. And it just so happens that I guess LaVita put up Maddie for whatever, not Maddie, Kelsey for whatever reason. I think Maddie played a small hand in that. So unfortunately, we found ourselves drawing a line in the sand. Whereas I had to stand up for, I wanted to stand up for Chelsea. It was just too bad because someone who I thought would be very beneficial to my game was doing so. So we had to build a fence, and whoever wanted to be on opposite side of the fence kind of fell where it was. I believe Levita really pushed for Kelsey to get out of the house, and then it really made people stop and think, why are we doing what she wants to do, what's best for our game? And then slowly people started to come to keep Kelsey in the house, and sadly Paige had to leave that week.
So who do you think is in the best position to win the game? Do you have a prediction on the winner of the season?
I think Tim is in a very good position right now, as well as Joel is. So I think one of those two have really the best odds, in my opinion, but it just boils down to who's winning competitions and who has each other's backs at this point.
What player surprised you the most in this season that really just blew you away with that you were not expecting them to be the player that they turned out to be?
The whole Cassandra ordeal. I knew what she was doing the whole time, how she would manipulate people and kind of suck up to people when she needed to. And I just got the short end of the stick. And I really never thought she would do that to me. So it was a kind of a shocker this week to me.
Is there one move that you think back and say that I wish I would have done this differently?
The one move I wish I would have taken back is getting Tim out last week. Maddie tried, and I believe that everything she was saying was true. I think it was Tim's time to go. But Kelsey and her just didn't see eye to eye, so that move didn't work too perfectly. Mm-hmm. But for my game, it would have been good Maddie staying in the house because I know she would have been loyal to me without Ramsey around. It's just too bad the girls couldn't see eye to eye in that situation. I really had to stick with the person who I've been loyal to this whole time. But I think that was my biggest downfall, is not getting Tim out.
Okay, and then last thing, Jared, do you want another shot at the house? Would you want to play again in another season of Big Brother Canada?
Currently, I'm going to enjoy the real world, but if you ask me probably tomorrow, I would absolutely love another chance at this. It was so much fun, a different way of thinking. I love the competition, and it was so fun meeting.
What if you have to shave your head?
You know what? Maybe if it comes down to it next time, you can give me the clippers. Maybe I'll shave it as soon as I walk in the door.
All right, Jared, King Jared, Your Royal Highness, thank you. Thank you again. Best of luck outside the house, okay?
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that.
All right, bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. That was Jared from Big Brother Canada. That he's going to keep that hair. You know what? It's that much money. I don't know. For Jared, I mean, I'm sure that, look, like I'd pay $100,000 to be Jared for a year. So I can't knock it too much. He's probably going to look good with a bald head, but it's probably not hurting to have the hair. All right. So that being said, that's going to do it here for our Big Brother Canada wrap up and exit interview for week number 9. We'll be back again next Friday. And then that's going to be the last Friday of the Big Brother Canada season, because I believe then we're going to be at the finale in less than 2 weeks, 11 days from now. So that's what's coming up here. Looking forward to reading your comments on Rob's website.com. Take care, everybody. Bye.